listeners to Sounding Out's podcast series, an oral chronicle of sound and culture. Sounding Out remixes the everyday with theory, insight, and practice. To learn more, please visit us on the web at www.soundstudiesblog.com. Until then, stay tuned for today's episode.
My name is Leonard Paul, and I have been working in video games since 1994, so it's been a while for me, basically 20 years these days. I teach at a school that I co-founded, and it's called the School of Video Game Audio. And so what I do is basically try and help people learn all sorts of fun stuff about game audio. So I am going to try to do the same here and see how it goes. So I want to talk about three different games that I've worked on in the past and just give a breakdown and really sort of tie a common thread between all three of them. The first one will be about the video game SimCell, and then Retro City Rampage, and then finally the third one will be on Vessel. Thanks. SimCell, it's an educational game that was released by Strange Loop Games, who also developed the game Vessel as well. It was developed for a branch of News Corp, their educational branch called Amplify, for American schools to help students learn about how the human cell works on their tablet systems. So with this, really the game is you piloting like a really small craft that allows you to look at and really see firsthand the way that the human cell works. Sort of like you're looking through a microscope, but like really looking at all the details. What I did with the design of it is combine classic kind of sci-fi, like analog synth idea, with digital arcade game, kind of early arcade game sort of style sound. So the way that I went about this is to use the open source system called Pure Data, and you can download it from puredata.info. And it's open source, meaning that it's also free, that I like to be able to tell people about how I did something, then they can actually do it as well without having to spend, like, you know, thousands of dollars. And really want to sort of break down that idea of elitism, is that you can really make some amazing sound design and work on video games without having to spend a huge amount of money. So that's what I really hope people take away from this, is that you can totally do the same stuff that I did. For us, we used LibPD, and all of the sounds are generated out of synthetic sources. So all the waveforms and all that kind of stuff are all mathematic. Pulse wave, triangle wave, like sine wave, noise, and that kind of stuff. Those are all the building blocks that I use to create my sounds for SimCell. And so for all of the sounds, they have an intensity that gets fed to it by the game, and it goes from 0 to 1. And some sounds have more than one parameter, but all of the sounds have an intensity parameter, and then that allows the sound to be dynamic and change every time the sound is triggered. So that's a real advantage to that. The thing that's unfortunate is that the processing power that was required for LibPD on this particular system was just too much. So we weren't able to actually make all the music and all the sound design generated in real time. So I had to kind of like flatten it out, but I figured out a pretty interesting way to do that, to batch it up in Pure Data, so I could just hit a button and then it would record all of the sounds for me. So instead of going really in a, like a true analog sense from 0 to 1, an infinite amount of possibilities, the way to see that is sort of the same way that a real clock would work, where, you know, if you keep sort of zooming in on the motion of the of the clock hand, then it's continuously sweeping. Whereas if you look at a digital clock, you look at it and then it's like bink, bink, you know, it's like quantizing the time. And so what I did is I took those values from 0 to 1 and broke it down into 5 steps of 20% each. So it goes 0, 0.2, 0.4, 0.6, right, 0.8, and then 1. And so, unfortunately, I also lost a bit of the variation because almost all of these sounds had randomness happening to them on any time that they were triggered, even with the same intensity. As far as the different sounds, I had 303 emulation, which is basically just sort of subtractive synthesis with a distinctive resonant filter. And I use that for the interface sounds, and I added a bit of reverb. Just to sort of separate those sounds from the in-game sound effects. The in-game sound effects, they use that sort of classic, I guess you'd say, additive, and then also subtractive, lots of subtractive, like, in other words, you've got a noise wave, sort of like, you know, and then you filter, you know, in this case I'm using my mouth, but you do the same thing with the Pure Data scripting code. So I also did things like the engine sounds, where it's like, the faster it goes, right, flying around, and if it got damaged, then it would be like, where I'm sort of randomizing the low-frequency oscillator on the way that the just the sound is being modulated. I could render this in a, you know, super high resolution if I wanted to. It's really, if you sort of draw a parallel to, say, vector graphics, it's like you can keep zooming in to that. Like if you have a font and you've got it all mathematically defined, you can keep zooming in and then you just, you know, you still have like a nice smooth edge to it. And it's the same thing with these sounds. If I wanted to render them out at like, you know, 192 kilohertz, I could basically just render them at a higher resolution and get a better sound out of them. Something that I did to sort of go the other way around is that I used bit depth reduction to sort of give a classic video game feel for something like the virus death. And what's happening here is that instead of using the full 16 bits, what I would do is use a method within Pure Data to sort of just quantize it, the vertical bit range, down to say maybe like, you know, 4 bits or something like that. And then that produces a really interesting kind of gritty sound. Say if I was working with like a fire sound, it sort of sounds like an old classic video game sound, and I got a really close sound to Space Invaders. The interesting thing about Space Invaders is that that original arcade machine, it had a specific sound chip for each sound. So you can imagine it's kind of expensive to have sound in your game, but that game sounds quite good. It even had adaptive music in it. Right? So for, yeah, all of the sounds, I had a simple plate DSP reverb just to give a sense of space. And if I wanted to do whoo, like whoo, whoo, that's sort of like, I just used filtered noise with a dynamic LFO on the center cutoff frequency. Whoo, right? And I could go whew, whew, whew. So the shape is always the same, but I could sort of start higher up and make it sound a little bit different each time it was triggered for whooshes. Collisions are often just layered noise, and I put different distortions on that. It was kind of hard to make the sound of something cracking, you know, if you have two things that impact each other. But I sort of tried to simulate that using clipping distortion. So that was, I found a good way of doing that. If I didn't use that kind of technique for my collisions, then I might have done sort of a classic arcade game collision sounds. Basically just changed the bit depth. So it sort of sounded like if, like the original Atari 2600 or VCS game Combat. That game came with the system and cartridge-based game. The entire game itself fit just into 2K of ROM on the cartridge. And so the explosion sound, it just has this sort of sound that, you know, because the system could only render the sound out so fast that you would have this really sort of low bit rate, low sampling rate, kind of like... For the scanning sound, I had like a sonar ping, and I used a filtered noise. Right, I could get very vocal, sort of, you know, sounding sounds by filtering them around sort of formant frequencies. And the formant frequencies are the different frequencies that are associated with vowel sounds. Right? Alarm sounds were made using sort of like minor intervals. Right? Like a half step, minor second. And it gives an uneasy feeling. It's just simply not resolved. So, yeah, sometimes I'd come up with unexpected sounds, like a stuck cat. Yeah, and then say something where you've got a falling tone, like a... So that sort of simulates like the Doppler effect. So if you have something that's falling in pitch, you know, then that gives a sense that the Doppler is going away from you, whereas like it feels like it's either going up or coming towards you. So that's sort of a overview of the sound design that I did on SimCell. And if you want to look at some more resources, definitely check out the video that I made called The Generative Music and Procedural Sound Design of SimCell. So if you search for SimCell Audio on YouTube, you'll find that video. And that's one of the videos from the School of Video Game Audio. Definitely have a look at Pure Data. That's super fun. I've been working with that for years. You can check out 10 free patches that describe and are basically open source examples of some of the sounds that I've been describing. So make sure to download that off of my site, videogameaudio.com. And search for 10 procedural sound design patches. So there's a power down sound, a fat synth, spaceship, whoosh, robot blabber, missile, sort of an aliasing scream. Alien blast. It's a computery sound. Explosions. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, the cat. Meow. Other great resources are Designing Sound. That's a book by Andy Farnell. And then also Miller Puckett's book. He's the guy that put together Pure Data, and he has a book called The Theory and Technique of Electronic Music, and it's a free 300-page ebook and also a real hardcover book. You want to pick it up? and have a look, or look online. Both are great, and it's a great way to learn pure data as well. So yeah, that's my approach to SimCell, the video game. So thanks for listening to the first installment out of three about SimCell. The next one will be about my work on Retro City Rampage, the synthesis techniques that I used for that as well. And thanks again to the Sounding Out podcast. Make sure to check them out online, soundstudiesblog.com, or check out me as well, Leonard Paul, at videogameaudio.com. Thanks.